Are you tired of the public school rat race? Tired of an education system that isn't cutting it for your family? Maybe the right private school is too expensive for you. Join the growing ranks of 2 million Americans that are homeschooled across the nation. Homeschooled children average in the 70th to 90th percentile in math, reading, and language, 25 percentile points higher than the average public school student. Did you know that you can get started homeschooling for as low as $159? Christian Home Educators of Colorado presents the Deluxe Starter Kit. This includes a video, three cassettes, a huge 365-page manual on how to homeschool, and listen to this, a full year's curriculum package. We'll throw in an introductory workshop. You'll find other similar packages for $299 with this offer. You can homeschool for $159 with the first grade package. It's only $159. Think about it. For the price of a pair of tennis shoes and school clothes, you can homeschool yourself for $159. Check it out at kevinswanson.com. That's homeschool for $159 at kevinswanson.com. Or call check at 720-842-4852. That's 720-842-4852.
Warning. This program contains content that may not be suitable to some listeners. It contains decency, truth, ageless wisdom, a father who cares. It's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Generations. No, I'm not Kevin Swanson. I am Kevin's producer, Dave Buhner. If you've been listening to the program this week and you've been putting up with me, well, now you have a good idea of what Kevin puts up with almost every single day. I hope you think more highly of him than even you used to, for he is a far more talented, handsome, and intelligent man, but we will persevere through tonight. Oh, so much to talk about in the news. The California Supreme Court has ruled that children can have two moms. And that is two moms if, in fact, the moms are lesbians. I don't know if they have to prove that or not. But in three separate cases, the Supreme Court said that a child can have two parents, and they can both be moms. The Supreme Court adopted an intent test for determining parentage. But perhaps the reasoning was close to the reasoning of this court. This happened in April of 2004. There's actually a boy now who officially, legally, has three parents. Not step-parents. He has three parents. He has two moms and one dad. Now, his dad is a homosexual, and so are his mothers. You can just see when the world leaves the Bible, it just gets nuttier and nuttier and nuttier. And that brings up the case of Matt Barber. Have you heard about Matt Barber? Matt Barber is an Allstate manager, and he was running a website that he did on his own time, and he writes columns and gives his opinions, much like a blog. Anyway, Matt Barber wrote on his webpage an article, a column, supporting traditional marriage, you know, the marriage that involves one man and one woman. Well, he was fired. It turns out that somebody saw his column and complained to Allstate, and Allstate, the good hands people, wanted to let Matt know he was safe, and they fired him. Matt, by the way, is filing a lawsuit saying that Allstate is discriminating based on his religion. Now, most companies are all for the freedom of religion. As long as you don't practice your religion, you're free to have it. Also on the education front, a sexual education advocacy group has praised the federal government's decision to suspend tax dollars to an abstinence-only education program, which is operated by a Christian organization. The decision by the Department of Health and Human Services follows a lawsuit filed by the ACLU of Massachusetts. Anyway, they're challenging the use of federal dollars to fund the Silver Ring thing, which ACLU says overtly promotes religion. Well, the Silver Ring thing is a program that teaches abstinence only until marriage. And yes, it is done by an evangelistic team of Christian missionaries. This Mr. Smith of Psyche says, quote, for far too long, SRT, that's the Silver Ring thing, and other programs like it, not only have been promoting religion, but also disseminating medical information to our nation's youth. Smith complains that we are just at the tip of the iceberg in exposing what the federal abstinence-only-until-marriage programs are all about. And in a related story, This comes to us from Canton, Ohio. There are 490 female students at Timken High School in Canton, Ohio. Of the 490, 65 are pregnant. Now, this article was written in the Canton Repository, and it suggests that some of the reasons for this alarming rate is movies, TV, video games, lazy parents, and lax discipline. School officials are not sure what has contributed to so many pregnancies, but in response to them, the school is launching a three-prong education program to address pregnancy prevention and parenting. Ladies and gentlemen, the world we live in is falling apart at the seams. Lawmakers are suspending funding for the only program that it's known to prevent teenage pregnancy. Abstinence. You don't need a three-prong approach. You need a one-prong approach. It's very hard to get pregnant if you're not having sex. And yes, the media is contributing to the delinquency of our children. It's encouraging aberrant behavior. So are the schools. And so are the fashion styles. But some people are trying to do something about it. Here's an article from Rebecca, and I believe her name is pronounced Hagelin. And she's done something that is quite dramatic. She writes in an article from townhall.com, "Occasionally a girl visits wearing something inappropriate. A midriff-bearing shirt, a short skirt, a low neckline. I smile and say, God made you a person of value. You're somebody special who deserves to be respected. So, when you're in my home, I want you to dress in a way that reflects the treasure you are. So let's go upstairs. You can pick out anything you like to cover up while you're here." There may be a gasp. Often, nobody's ever told them that their body is a treasure to be respected. But then they get it. And you know what? A bond is created, and they appreciate what I'm doing. Well, kudos to Rebecca Hagelin for trying to do something about the problem, for trying to impose a biblical standard of dress in her home. And ladies and gentlemen, I think it's time that maybe us, we Christians, ought to impose the same standards of modesty in our homes. And maybe, just maybe, we ought to have that same standard in our worship services. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Generations, and we'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, I like no-hassle car buying. It's very simple. Here's how it works. Visit McKinneyMotors.com, M-C-K-I-N-N-E-Y, Motors.com. Click on Contact. Tell them what you want, your price range, and a contact number, and Jeff will go to work for you. He's been in the car business for 20 years. He knows cars. He handles any car, new or used. He'll get the best car for you with the best service at your price at Jeff McKinney Motors. That's McKinneyMotors.com or call 303-660-0303. Call him, tell him what you want, and he will do the work for you. Contact McKinneyMotors.com. That's 303-660-0303. Christian families have not escaped the rapid increases in healthcare costs. They are looking for solutions. Does the Bible provide any answers to the problems that plague our healthcare system? There are a growing number of Christian families who have joined together through Samaritan Ministries. They are helping one another directly with medical needs, one Christian household to another. Every month, there are more than 10,000 households who pray with one another, send notes of care and encouragement, and give a monthly share to help with other members' needs. They are sharing nearly $1.5 million in needs every month. Yet the monthly share is only $195, even less for couples and singles. Christians need to take the lead in demonstrating to others that the Bible really does have the answers, including health care. If you would like to know more about a movement of caring, committed believers, call Samaritan Ministries at 1-888-2 and the word others, or visit the website at www.samaritanministries.org.
Welcome back to Generations. I am Dave Buhner. I am the producer of this program, sitting in for Kevin Swanson this week. Kevin is in New Mexico doing the Lord's work, training young men and young women to stand in the gates to fight for faith, family, and freedom. Today we're kind of doing a survey of the headlines, and we're looking at the world's standards, and we're going to compare it to God's standards. If you're like me, the last time you voted in the federal election, you weren't necessarily certain who you were going to vote for, but one thing was for certain. you were not going to vote for John Kerry. In fact, a vote for anyone else, you considered a vote against John Kerry. Well, today's headline might make you feel pretty good about that decision. The headline reads, Kerry attends funeral with blow-up sex dolls. Now, maybe things aren't going as well with Teresa as we had been told during the campaign. According to WorldNet Daily, former presidential candidate John Kerry attended an intimate and exclusive farewell for Gonzo journalist Hunter Thompson, a suicide victim. I am very disappointed in WorldNet Daily that they would call Hunter Thompson a suicide victim. How can you be a victim of your own suicide? Aren't you the perpetrator? Wouldn't it be more accurate to say exclusive farewell for Gonzo journalist Thompson, a criminal? I think God thinks that. After all, he does say thou shalt not murder. Life is precious. And we really shouldn't take it away in such a flippant manner as Thompson did. Anyway, Thompson's ashes were blasted into the night sky in an explosion, according to reports. Now, it had to be according to reports because reporters were not allowed to attend this gala affair. Thompson's son, Juan, said the hundreds of celebrities, including actors like Johnny Depp, Bill Murray, Lyle Lovett, George McGovern, John Kerry, they might not have felt comfortable with the press around. No report if that had anything to do with the blow-up dolls. Ladies and gentlemen, I propose to you that what's going on here is they're ashamed. I used to think that liberals had no shame. But the fact that they want to do their sinning behind the closed doors makes me think that I was wrong. In Kansas, there's an attorney named Phil Klein, the general attorney of the state, as it turns out. He's the attorney general, and he's filed a lawsuit against the governor. And he wants to stop the state from paying for abortions with state monies, with tax money. This seems reasonable. After all, why should you be able to take money out of your neighbor's pocket in order to do something your neighbor finds repulsive? That certainly would violate any kind of principle of liberty. Well, the governor's office has said that that would be a big mistake because this is Medicaid dollars. And the state gets $1.2 billion, billion with a B, every year from Medicaid. But they won't get that $1.2 billion if they don't follow the federal guidelines and kill babies. And besides, they don't kill that many anyway. Well, Phil Klein, I applaud you for your fight for righteousness, and we pray for your success. Now, if you've been paying attention to the news, there's one story that's been everywhere you looked. It's been in your newspaper, it's been in the local news, it's been in the nationals, and it concerns the commander in grief, Cindy Sheehan. You know who Cindy Sheehan is? She's a mother of a soldier who went to Iraq, and he died fighting to liberate Riyadh. But she is a peacenik mom, and in her grieving, she has decided that her task is to go follow the president around everywhere until she gets a meeting with him. Of course, she's already had a meeting with him, and that meeting went very well, according to her own reports. But now she needs another meeting, because we're still in Iraq. And Cindy Sheehan has been given not just a free pass by the media, but they have given her what they call moral authority. Moral authority. And we want to look at that term, moral authority, because it's very ironic coming to us from the press, because the press neither thinks of things as moral, nor do they are they respecters of authority. In fact, the press has defined what we would traditionally call things as immoral as moral. For instance, stopping a woman from killing her baby, that is immoral. Having a free choice to kill your baby, that is moral. Flying airplanes into skyscrapers, that is moral. Killing people who want to kill you, that's immoral. Putting a murderer to death who's been convicted beyond a reasonable doubt of that murder, that's immoral. Making taxpayers pay for a luxurious existence for that murderer for the rest of his life, That's moral. So how does the liberal press define morality? On what standard do they base their morality? Well, I posit to you that it's really anything that goes against Christendom. But they say Mrs. Sheehan has moral authority, though they deny the existence of morality. But where would she get this authority? How would she have moral authority? Well, they tell us it's because she suffered the loss of her son. I wonder if they would apply that same standard to God. Jesus, we're told, has been given all authority in heaven and in earth, and that would include all moral authority as well. And he suffered, certainly he suffered as much as Cindy Sheehan suffered. Does he not have moral authority? Can he not say what's right or wrong? It seems to me if anyone should have moral authority, it should be Christ Jesus. But Cindy Sheehan lost her son, but she gained a platform. And she's back in Texas now. Turns out that Cindy Sheehan doesn't really have an exit strategy. But we're really not here to talk about Cindy Sheehan, but rather two systems of thought. One that says abstinence is good, and one says abstinence is bad. One that says morality is good, one that says morality is immoral. I want to point your attention to another headline. Turns out that a federal appeals court ruled earlier this week, and it ruled it in Wisconsin. So this is a federal court, an appeals court, said prison officials violated an inmate's rights. Now, normally I don't get very excited and I don't pay much attention to a penitentiary inmate who's suing the warden because he didn't get his color TV or his couch wasn't soft enough or he didn't do very well under fluorescent lights or whatever the list of grievances are. But this one caught my eye because he is saying they violated his rights because they wouldn't let him practice his religion. I'm going to take a straw poll out there. Just what religion do you think it was he wasn't practicing? Just raise your hand, unless you're driving. If you're driving, keep both hands on the wheel. Raise your hand out there if you think it was Islam. Okay, there's a few of you out there. Christianity? A few more. Judaism? Buddhism? Any Buddhas? Okay, you're all wrong. It was atheism. That's right. He was being denied the ability to practice his atheism. According to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, they said, quote, atheism is the inmate's religion. And the group he wanted to start was religious in nature, even though it expressly rejected belief in a supreme being. The court decided the inmate's First Amendment rights were violated because the prison refused to allow him to create a study group for atheists. Of course, this just confuses the incoherence of the courts in the Establishment Clause of the Constitution. Jurisprudence will be turned on its ear by decisions like this, because now it turns out that when you take down the Ten Commandments, you're establishing a religion. Just a different religion than the one the Ten Commandments had up. And so I go back to the question of moral authority. Morals are based on ethics. And ethics are based on something that's right or wrong. In the Christian worldview, it's based on God's law. But if you don't believe there is a God and you don't believe there's God's law, what could be moral? What standard could you have? Then how could you have moral authority? And what's more, let's look at the word authority. How could you have an authority without a Christian worldview? You're left with might makes right. And certainly the press isn't saying that Cindy Sheehan's might makes right. Of course, the sad part of all this is that she's being used by the press. And when she's no longer useful to them, they will discard her like they always do. And she will no longer have a platform, and they no longer assign her moral authority. She is what Karl Marx called a useful idiot. A useful idiot was somebody that Marx said was a soldier in the war to advance communism, but somebody who wasn't smart enough to know that it wasn't an egalitarian cause, it wasn't an economic cause, it wasn't about the poor being too poor, the rich being too rich. It was about the destruction of Christendom. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have two very radically different worldviews. But I say, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to Christ Jesus. I'm Dave Buhner. The show is Generations. We'll be right back.
People are surprised to discover that my family and I drive an hour and a half to Reformation Church. I must confess, 3 years ago when a friend encouraged us to visit Reformation, my thoughts were, a two-hour drive to church? I don't think so. But because of our friendship, I was willing to make the trip one time. Well, we have been making that drive ever since. You may be thinking, why would anyone drive that far to attend a church? The members of Reformation take their walk with the Lord seriously. They actively encourage one another, building up one another in the faith, and helping to carry each other's burdens. The brothers and sisters at Reformation truly care for one another. But this is not the main reason we attend Reformation. It is only the icing on the cake. The main reason we attend Reformation is because of the centrality of the Word in our worship of the Triune God. His Word is preached with power and authority. At Reformation, we worship the living God, who is mighty and powerful, full of mercy and grace.
Reformation Church in Castle Rock meets at Douglas County High School in Front Street at 10:30 a.m. Sundays. Check us out at reformationchurch.com or call 303-648-9606. This is Kevin Swanson. Let me tell you, I'm planning to use National Driver Training Institute's program for my son Daniel because parent-directed driver education has proven to be the most effective training process in the United States. This program, Help for the Teenager Who Wants to Drive, is approved in Colorado, New Mexico, Texas, and many other states. Your teenager can start the process at 15 years old and receive his license by 16. This course is recognized by every insurance company in Colorado and approved for home study by the state of Colorado. Programs start at just under $100, and you will have everything you need to create a safe driver for life. Call National Driver Training Institute at 800-942-2050. That's 800-942-2050. Or visit them on the web at nationaldrivertraining.com. Let them know you heard about it right here on Generations.
Welcome back to Generations. My name is Dave Buhner. I'm sitting in for Kevin Swanson this week, and we've been talking about moral authority, or really we've been talking about two systems of thought, two systems of belief, and their consequences as seen in the headlines. The city of Denver is putting on the ballot, or proposing to put on the ballot, a tax for hotel guests. They want to raise taxes for guests who stay in the hotels in Denver in order to attract people to stay in the hotels in Denver. Now, I know this doesn't make sense. This is like saying I'm going to charge $5 a gallon of gasoline in order to attract people to my pumps. But that's what they're proposing. They want to spend all the money on advertising. I have a different idea. How about all the hotels raise their rates and spend the money in advertising? You don't need a law to do that. The law of God is contained in very few words. In fact, all 66 books of the Bible hardly make up one of the legal volumes, of which there are thousands in any legal library. It's because God's law, God's system, is based on an unchangeable standard. Our civil magistrate's law isn't based on a standard at all. The current system is based on precedent. You have to rule on what the judge before you ruled. And so the law books keep growing because you have to have every single case. And lawyers have to become more and more specialized. So, of course, you need more and more lawyers. And No one knows anything fully. Well, and you end up with a different system. If we want moral authority, we got to get that authority from the one who provides morals, the highest authority. Cindy Sheehan doesn't have moral authority. The Word of God has moral authority. I want to encourage you to pray for your children tonight. Remember to pray for their salvation. Pray that God would use them in mighty ways, that He would help you to train them up in the way that they should go. When they are older, they will not depart from it. Have yourself a good evening. You've been listening to Generations. Good night.
Gentlemen, Kevin Swanson here. There's a principle that has never let me down. I do business with the people I believe in, and that's why I go with George Sechrist Insurance for all my insurance needs. George is a man of honesty, integrity, and service. George will go the extra mile for you. I've seen him give up himself sacrificially for the needs of others. You can count on George. Auto, life, home, call George at George Sechrist Insurance, 303-979-1288. That's 303-979.
Oh, why did I put it off? I should have made an appointment.
This winter, don't get left in the cold. Get your car winterized at Academy Car Care and Repair. Academy Car Care and Repair's ASC-certified mechanics can work on all vehicles. Call Academy Car Care and Repair today before you really need them. 573-5973. That's 573-5973. Academy Car Care and Repair at Academy and LaSalle.